1320 AM and W248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Police say the mall shooter who killed eight people yesterday near Dallas was wearing a white supremacist symbol as he gunned down innocent people. CBS's Pat Milton has details.
Law enforcement sources identified the mall shooter as 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia. The sources said investigators are looking into whether the shooter was possibly motivated by domestic terrorism extremist ideals. He had a patch on his clothing with the letters RWDS, which means Right Wing Death Squad, believed to be a neo-Nazi group.
Investigators say he'd also made hundreds of racist and violent social media posts. Also in Texas, it's still unclear if a deadly crash that killed seven people near a migrant shelter was intentional. Martin Sandoval is with the Brownsville Police Department.
There's reports that are going out that he was driving recklessly. There's others saying that he was intoxicated, and there's others saying that he was intentional. At no point have we clarified that it was intentional.
But witnesses say the driver did try to run off after he plowed into that group. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is sounding the alarm on the debt ceiling.
The Treasury Secretary tells ABC this is an urgent situation.
Early June is when we project that we will run out of cash, and there is a chance it could be as early as June 1st.
That means for the first time in history, the U.S. will default on its debt unless congressional Republicans raise that debt ceiling. They've been demanding cuts in new spending before agreeing to raise the limit to pay off existing debt. President Biden and congressional Democrats have called that unprecedented. The president will meet with congressional leaders on Tuesday at the White House. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
In North Carolina, a new bill would ban abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Governor Roy Cooper has vowed to veto it.
They've dressed this up as a 12-week ban, but it's really not. They rammed through a bill in 48 hours with no public input, with no amendments, that drastically reduces access to reproductive freedom for women.
PETA is slamming the Kentucky Derby as a killing field following the deaths of two more horses at Churchill Downs. They died hours before Mage won the big race yesterday. Seven horses have now died at that track. And the National Action Network wants investigators to look into the chokehold killing of a homeless man who died on a subway last week in New York, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
A mental issue on a train is not to be sentenced with death.
At least seven people were arrested this weekend in clashes with police, some jumping onto subway tracks in protest. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Do you know what brand sells the most work shoes in America? Skechers. Why? Skechers has the best-looking safety toe and slip-resistant shoes around. They've got superior quality and simply incredible prices, but many people get them just for the style. So you can enjoy tough, steel-toed protection and slip-resistant soles anywhere, even if you don't need them for work. And since they're Skechers, you know they're going to be comfortable with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Find your new pair of Skechers safety toe and slip-resistant work shoes at a Skechers store, at Skechers.com, or wherever work shoes are sold.
Start your engines, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you're ready for some real deal, down-home country music, you've got to check out the new album from Luke Combs, Getting Old. It's something for everyone. Getting Old is all about embracing life's changes with grace, humor, and heart. From foot-stopping anthems to tender ballads, Getting Old has something for everyone. Protect your high-mileage vehicle's engine with new Syntec high-mileage full synthetic motor oil, available now exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered storms tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 51. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 55. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 46. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Ah! Seth and James here sitting back with the Lizards, having a just as legendary of a conversation as these guys are. Again, thank you for the time, everybody. I want to get into the albums, and really I do want to talk about the last two that will come out and the connection of them, but we can't get to that before we go to the past and rewind a little bit. So, Mark, Milo, tell me about the first album and how excited, what was it like recording that?
It's great, especially adding the Abbey Road portion. And the Blue Oyster Cult guests. I mean, how can it not be great?
Well, it was one of those stories that started out small and just became this larger than life thing. You know, it was, we're going to do an album, as many bands do, and we set out to do it. And when this whole thing with Buck Dharma and Richie Castellano from Blue Oyster Cult came together as a result of us just walking up to them after a show and saying, would you like to be on our album?
Yes.
And again, I think Jeff's influence was there because he's the one that brought us to them.
Right on.
And they said yes. And suddenly we had, you know, the guy that wrote Reaper on our album. So now what do we do to kind of, you know, this is not just a local CD anymore. We've got to do something. And it was about the time that Kickstarter was just starting. I was kind of curious about it and maybe naive, but we did a Kickstarter project and you made the video and you set it up and, Because we had those guys on it, we were fortunate to have, like, Albert Bouchard was our first Kickstarter backer, Albert's original drummer of Blue Oyster Cult. And he was like, he was like $100, $125 backer. So then the fans started to respond. And because we were able, we made more than what we had set out to with the Kickstarter. So it was very successful. We had the money then with the fans to do it upright. So we had enough to do vinyl. I was recuperating from surgery, and I was bored. And I booked Abbey Road. I guess that's what you can say, because I looked for an open date. And I don't know if I asked Jamie first because I knew he was traveling at that time, but
it all fell into place.
I picked a date and said, book. And they went, okay, you have a date. So, you know, that's the mystery, is you go online and you book it. So, so that's literally what happened. And we got to master it at Abbey Road. We got them on the album.
God, is that
So it just turned into this thing. And it was just the most amazing thing in my life that I'll ever experience. It goes on because of other things that maybe Jamie would be able to talk about, but you know, it is truly a gift. And, you know, we learned, I think the idea was, what was the phrase? Never be afraid to ask the question.
Yeah, that ended up on the back of the album.
And that ended up because it was really never be afraid. We could have said no.
Yeah.
Buck will never say, but it was like, he can only say no, but if you don't ask. And I think that motivates us to this day, where it's, you know, you bring it, you have a vision and you bring it into reality, and you set your sights high, because the higher you set them, the higher you achieve.
Right on.
And a guy like Buck Dharma getting involved with that first one, people might think that, you know, we paid him to do that and stuff. He genuinely liked Jamie and Jeff. Those three talked a lot.
Yeah. We still talk to this day.
Talk.
Last week I had a conversation with him.
That's awesome.
He did it because he genuinely liked some of the demos that he heard and he wanted to get involved. He didn't charge us a penny. He didn't even ask for money. We assumed that we would, you know, we got to give Buck Dharma something, but no, he wouldn't. He didn't want anything.
No.
He did that because he wanted to be involved.
And he was having fun with the production of it,
mm-hmm.
mixing and going over it. And So
I've told this so many times, I don't want to do it again, but I have to with the story here, because I don't have a lot of breaks in my career. But I was part of a show that was being filmed in California. The writer on one of those shows pulls me in to see Conan O'Brien live, and he's one of my bigger influences. He's got the IMDb page that I want and all that and stuff and everything. And we're around him, and the other writer says something about, hey, this kid writes too. You should, you know, give him some work. And he's just teasing me and teasing Conan and everything. Conan looks at me, looks me up and down, says, oh, no, he's too handsome working. I thought he was being dead serious. And I saw what little career I had flash before my eyes. And I'm like, I can do ugly. Trust me, I can do ugly. Just give me a chance. I can. And I made him laugh. And he was nice enough to let me intern on that show for 7-8 months, that his TBS nice. Show and everything. And he didn't have to do that. He couldn't. I saw him treat everybody this way. I was not special. That man is just a good guy. He just treats people nicely. But he gave me an opportunity. So fast forward, I get this break in at WFHR where I am able to hire some people and I'm able to bring some people in. And the very first person I think of is somebody who I care about, respect, and have so much admiration for in a lot of ways, and Seth, and wanted to bring him in. And I'm not saying it's the same type of thing, but how much of those early thing, those early hand-ups and everything makes you want to like reach out to other artists or other musicians, people just starting out and everything, and encourage them? The encouragement support costs nothing, mean everything. Like it's got to be a big, that hand and down thing.
I had a brief similar situation on my first solo album. Joe Bouchard, founding bass player of Blue Oyster Cult, took one of my songs, he didn't rearrange it, but he kind of rearranged it. He sped it up and ended up playing most of the instruments on it. And I know a guitar magazine editor on the East Coast, and he's like, Joe Bouchard's my favorite guy. And I said, do you want to play the harmony lead guitar on this track? And he was about beside himself. And he did it. He laid it down. It was a perfect track. And now they're together on record. And he still says it's one of his greatest thrills of his career. And he's interviewed everybody in the music business. So paying it forward, you know, Buck gave us a break. Yes. It's the least we can do is try and pay it forward.
Yeah. It's a big part of, I think, that I hate to use the word responsibility because it seems so heavy and big, but I really do think that that's part of the job of a creative person. It's not that different than our job as parents is to prepare our kids to be adults. It's not to, you know, do what we'd like to do and put them in a bubble and never let anything ever happen to them. We've got to let them scrape their knees. We've got to let them do things. You have to see other creative people that you care about and like, you know, go through that stuff. But it doesn't mean you can't give them a hand. It doesn't mean you can't do things to help out any way you can. I have to admit something to you guys and to the audience here a little bit. I think in some ways I have been buying time to dive into this next subject. I want to get into Weave. I want to talk about Jeff Goss a little bit and talk about his connection to these last two albums. For the audience to know, I knew Jeff differently than you guys, more as a friend, more as a music lover. I was at Holly Rocks the first time I met Jeff, and it's 20 minutes to close, and there's like 6-7 people in there. And Lexi and I are talking, and I don't know where it came up, but I mentioned that I was Frank Zappa came up and we're talking and stuff, and I'm basically repeating a line of my father's because I'm a poor man's version of my father essentially. I think Frank Zappa is the most underappreciated guitar player of all time. You know, nobody appreciates Frank's guitar playing. Like they talk about how weird he was and all these different things. And I'd wake up in the morning and make an album, but his guitar playing was amazing to me. And I don't pretend to know anything about it, but I thought he was really cool. And I'm rambling about this, and there's somebody over in the corner steaming. And I cannot figure out why. And I've never seen this guy, and I don't know who he is. And he immediately starts yelling at me about Todd Rundgren. And I'm like, I like Todd Rundgren. I think Todd Rundgren's awesome and everything. But I didn't know we were having a debate here. I didn't know this was a fight. And he just kind of like moves over immediately. Like in a blink of an eye, he's right next to me. And he orders me a beer. And he's like, we're going to be a minute. And thank bless Lexi for this, because we stayed after bar talking and not only talking about those two artists, but about every single other artist you can think of under the sun. And I'd spend the next, I don't know, 10, 15 years or whatever it was, being turned on by music that I didn't know, or sitting over there on that couch, being turned on to a million different bands. Maybe bands that I knew, but not music I knew from them. My dad had listened to played the waltz a bunch as a kid and everything, The Last Dance. And I had never really sat there and listened to each song individually. Had it broken down for me, for somebody that could not only explain these things to me, that I could understand it, but in terms that I could understand. And with a passion and charisma that you almost couldn't help getting pulled in. Like, even if you didn't, like, he was talking about a band or a song you didn't like, you were listening. You were all in. You were all engaged. And his love of it got you to want to listen to it. I haven't been in this building. I haven't even been in this side of town or over in this spot at least since 18. And I don't think I've really thought about why. And I think I've been avoiding it. I think I haven't wanted to come over here. I don't want to pretend and over dramatize things or anything like that. I did not know Jeff in the way you guys did, or I don't pretend to, or Connie or anybody. But the man meant a lot to me, and I miss him all the time. And I appreciate what you guys what he meant to you guys too. And I'd like to get into River to I'm sorry, River to Nowhere, and start right there and kind of go from what that album was, how that was making that album, and what happened during the making of that album. I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but whoever wants to kind of jump in on that and during this, please welcome. Milo can put people on the spot. Yeah, I don't want to do that, but if you wouldn't mind taking us there back in time, starting right there, the beginning of that album, and where it would go, and all the things that happened during it.
Milo pointed at me, so...
Yeah, Jamie, I appreciate you. Thank
he's
you.
Got the best memory.
River to Nowhere came out in 2018, but understand that a majority of the songs were written a few years before that, and that album was recorded in two phases. The first half of the album, I mean, back then we were playing 30 shows a year plus, and we all have lives and families and jobs and things going on, so... You know, we'd go in on a run of recording a couple of songs, and then we'd play a bunch of shows. Like summer would happen, and we wouldn't touch it for 3 months or 6 months. We'd come back to it. So I can't remember if all of the bones of the songs were completed, and the next phase was finishing up some overdubs or vocals or whatnot. But around that time... was when Jeff was starting to have some difficulty and remembering lyrics and remembering some songs, and we needed to get the album finished. I mean, as a songwriter, as a musician, I don't know how the rest of these guys feel, but when these things are babies in their infancy, you must see them through to adulthood.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer in no song is wasted. And so we needed to get these finished. We needed to get that album out. And it was the last half of recording got to be very difficult emotionally for all of us. And but Jeff was very, very much a part of this album from start to finish. And we wanted to make sure that he really shined on the album, and we needed to get him through the last bits of recording. And it came down to writing out verse by verse chord charts and helping him through the guitar parts to get it done. And it you know, maybe I'll turn this over to Travis to kind of touch on the production piece, but I think we really wanted to make sure that everybody knew what a great musician he was, is, and was.
And Travis, I know that for you guys know as well as I do how much the mini Donald Fagen he could be with his sound and his ear for sound. It was one of the things that I loved hearing him talk about and everything. So when it came to mixing any of this stuff or any of that, I imagine that was there was some joy in it, and also how difficult. I don't want to pretend like I can imagine how difficult some of that can be, but I had to have had some of that.
Honestly, when it came to the mixing and that part of it, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, it was just the actual tracking of getting that down. Okay. And it was pretty amazing, I thought, because it was obvious something was going on. it was still kind of early, so we couldn't quite put our finger on it, but we knew we were helping them the best we could. But there were these spurts of just genius, him standing in this room by himself with his guitar, and it would be a half hour of struggling, and then all of a sudden there would be this weird spurt of just like genius, like, where did that holy cow, I'm glad we got that, you know. And you listen to some of that stuff on there, and it's like, man, he was in a zone there. So yeah. I'm really happy with how all that came. There were a lot of takes that he did to sift through to find all that stuff, but it was there. And it was still in him, and it came out. It just didn't come out regularly, as easily as it used to for him, but it was still there, and I'm glad we got it.
Dementia rain is pouring down, infects my brain, can't make a sound. Dementia rain seeps through my pores, I feel insane, can't sleep no more. Dementia rain, I fly right over my friends in pain. I try to live the way I've known, but my mind's behind like a child ungrown. Can't even learn a whiter shade, all teary-eyed, can't make the grade. Dementia rain, I fly right over my friends in pain. Crash course, headed straight for the ditch. Can't make no sense, can't find the light switch. All the truths I've told have all become lies. As my memory flies, my memory dies. Doctor said I didn't pass the test. Family thinks they all know what's best. Now I'm sitting stranded all alone. God, I hate this place called home. Dementia rain, fly right over my friends in pain. Dementia rain, dementia rain, lost my friend to dementia rain.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition. One, two, three, four.
gunslinger on your high horse with some new tricks up your sleeve. Won't the dice miss Silver City? Lay it down and strip the paint. Your head, it's been a long road. Do the moves you wanna do. You could be my cup of tea and my shot of poison too. Roll the dice, Miss Silver City.
Album comes together, you're able to do this, you're able to put it together, and really, like, for lack of a better way to put it, do right by him, do right by yourselves, do right by your fans and all that, put it together, and that's amazing. But then there's these there's also the stuff behind the scenes, that you have a position to fill, you have you have an album to support and to, I imagine, if not tour with, promote and all that. So you have to replace you can't replace him, but you have to find a new guitar player. You have to have somebody else in there and everything. How does that work? How did he even help with that? Which I think one thing that I really want to mention real quick about him is nobody got here with no ego. Okay. So everybody has some ego in some way or another or anything like that. But I think the team player in him was always so cool to me, and hearing how he brought you guys in and knowing a little bit of how he wanted to be a part of that, help with the, you know, filling a role. He didn't just want to just leave, you know. He wanted to help you guys set that up and everything. Can you tell us a little bit about the process of that?
He did help. I mean, he suggested a certain person, and that's who we tried out, and that's who seemed to fit in. He did his homework and did a great job. And, you know, Jeff just bowed out. You know, there were a lot of times throughout that last year where he would get frustrated during practice, and he would almost be crying, and he'd be like, if I were you guys, I would just find somebody else. And every time we're like, no, we'll get through this. We'll help you through it. And that went on for a long time. And then it came to a certain point in time where we realized for the benefit of him, when he said he wanted to bow out and maybe we should find somebody else, we said, well, if that's the way you feel, Jeff, you know, maybe we should consider that, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was still hard for him to do that, obviously. But it got to a point where we kind of wanted to protect him too, because the things that were happening on stage and stuff for shows, you know, he would totally, and I'm not bashing him by any means by saying it, but he would totally forget what he's doing. He couldn't even remember how to tune sometimes and put his guitar down and walk off stage. And, you know, we just didn't want that version of him to be portrayed for his legacy, you know. So it felt like the right time when he said that, and mm-hmm. we left it up to him. We said, if that's the way you feel, and he may have been surprised when we said it, that we didn't say you're gone or anything like that. We just said, if that's the way you feel,
yeah,
we'll do whatever you want, Jeff, you know. So
for a band that has seen a lot of changes for a lot of different reasons, it's nice to have the transition go that way, as opposed to some of the other ways maybe it has gone, in a more darker or harder and more dramatic or anything like that. Not to say that this didn't have, obviously it's drama to it and everything, but there's no perfect way for this to go. There's no playbook for something like this. It went pretty well by all things considered.
Well, that night he ended up reaching out to the person that he was recommending take his spot right away.
That's just, I mean, I feel like that really... It speaks to him. And also, I don't want to make like I'm trying to put Jeff on sainthood or anything here. We all know Jeff. We all knew Jeff and everything. And we do that too much with people sometimes, I think. We want to be real about people. And Jeff was a human being. He was real. I don't want to keep rambling about him like that. But at the same time, he's a good guy. And that's part of the reason why these last two albums for you guys had to be done the way they did, I would imagine. I think as a fan, I think as somebody who's a listener and doesn't know some of the inner workings and everything, the next album, I wouldn't begrudge you if you wanted to not move on, but get the next chapter started. You know, you did right by him and the legacy of that incarnation of the band with the last album. It's understandable if you want to do that, but it speaks to the connection you had with him and to each one of you individually that you did this next album, this latest album that you have, the way that you did. I want to get into that a little bit. Who wants to talk about that album, the name of the album, and start that off? I think Jamie's had to do this a bit already. I'm going to put Mark on the spot. Yeah, yeah. Mark's been quiet for too long.
I've been quiet for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the third album came together during the pandemic, and there's a lot of ghosts in there of the pandemic. It was written fairly organically, I think, most sitting around a campfire, afraid to get too close to each other and trying to work out safety and what do we do and how do we continue this? How do we work in a studio during a time where we're not supposed to be together? And so it started to talk a little bit about that here we are, the pandemic's not going to keep us down. But I don't know if it consciously, I know I wasn't conscious, but it did start to shift to kind of this cathartic mode where we were just reliving things, talking about it really for the very first time, and really, you know, what all happened, and talking about dementia as a disease and how that affects people. You know, I've had several people in my life that have passed with dementia. Sister-in-law and a niece, and so, you know, we're really well aware of how debilitating it can be, and so we started just talking about that, and then the stories came out. You remember this, where, you know, there was something happened crazy that happened in Nashville. They have some stories that may or may not ever see the light of day, but, you know, it just these peculiar things that were manifesting and our feelings about them. So it just sort of became that. It's kind of the story of how we felt and what we experienced. Some of it was wonderful and some of it was just incredibly awful, as that disease is.
Yeah.
So, how did I do, guys? Is that pretty close?
I was the only thing I was going to add was everybody needs to grieve in a certain way to move on.
Yeah.
And I know making this record was part of the grieving process for us as a band to not necessarily move on, but get comfortable with what we all experienced, which is different than what other people experienced. I mean, this band has been a family for decades, yeah. And what we experienced was probably different than what others experienced. And, and there was some animosity. You know, we saw things that other people never saw. And, but in the end, everybody needs to grieve and make their way through some situation. And I think this album, for the most part, was our grieving process.
Right on. We are going to, at another time, Connie and I reached out to Jeff's family and have talked to them and stuff. And we're going to do an episode dedicated to Jeff. We're going to spend some time getting into his music, getting into his legacy a little bit more. But I do appreciate you guys sharing that and touching on that a little bit. Just I swear, guys, we're just one more question and we'll be done. But real quickly, before I get to that question, people, I always like to treat these things like, as hard as this is for me to imagine, somebody hasn't heard of you guys before. So say there's a listener out there who's just getting turned on to you guys and everything. They're digging it. They're enjoying the music. Where can they hear your music? How can they get this stuff? Can they hear your music from anywhere?
No, it's locked in a vault, never to be heard.
All right. You make them work for it. I like that.
Well, as far as contacting us, like anything, you can go to our Facebook page, The Lizards. Just type in The Lizards with a Z at the end, right? And if you want to reach out to us, you can message us. We'll get back to you probably within an hour.
Right.
And you can buy physical stuff in that way, whether it's a record or a CD of our albums. We have three albums. One of them's got vinyl. The newest one's got vinyl on the way.
And what is the newest album called?
The newest album is called Memoria.
I love that. I love that so much. Just a side note. Cool.
But if you're going into the trend of no physical media, which a lot of people are these days, we do have, we're on all the streaming services, Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, iHeartRadio, even YouTube. You can
buy us music on iTunes. So.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Just to test it out and everything, doing my homework, I just punch it in the computer and that's exactly how it worked. It just popped up right away, all that stuff. So that's cool. And that's how we want to get you guys into it.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 51. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, isolated rain showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 55. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 46. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
So you have the opportunity, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who, why? That is the question being proposed to you. And I want you to have fun with this, enjoy it and everything. Ben has already had to go through this once before, the poor guy. And I'm kind of making you do it again a little bit here, but I think maybe in this way, Ben, you can kind of have two answers. You can kind of choose two different people if you want. Or you can answer the same way.
I'm going to answer the same way I would have. Is it coffee? Coffee or tea with Sir Paul McCartney. That's who I'd have it with.
Travis.
Again, there's so many, the one that comes off the top of my head, and it's not even a drumming influence, just a Scott Weiland. Probably the only front man that I saw that commanded my attention from start to finish. Like, I'm normally like, oh, look at what the guitar player is doing, or whatever. That dude stares a hole right through you. It feels like he's staring right at you, and he would probably have some pretty interesting stories.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not so much just about the influence as it is, man, that'd be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
I loved, and one of my biggest writing influences is Hunter S. Thompson. But part of what I'd like to do is just be able to sit in a room with the guy for an hour and everything. Like, I forget about influence and talking about writing or anything like that. I just want to be around him. Like, we were joking about this in a previous episode. I don't have any problem with, I respect what I do know of her, but I would imagine that coffee with Bjork is interesting. Like, it's definitely not normal. There's no way you're just sitting down and just having a little cup of tea or something and talking about the weather. It's definitely going to be interesting. So some of it's that, too. I like that answer. Jamie, how about you?
I'm going off topic. I mean, I would say initially Neil Peart or Roger Waters, but Neil's too smart for all of us. And he's deceased.
Well, you could talk about cold fusion with him.
True.
That would be, I could finally ask that question.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Roger would shout and be grumpy.
He's even crabby. He's, yes.
Yeah. So Paul Theroux is a writer, a travel writer / fiction writer. He's still around. I love to travel off the beaten path and have for years and years. And his books are great. But I'd like to sit down for an hour with him and have a cup of coffee. He's a grumpy guy, too, but I'm sure he's got some good stories about living in a hut in Central Africa for 8 months at a crack, and that's what piques my interest.
Awesome. Yeah. Milo.
I would have to say Pete Ham, just because I like his writing, and he's got a lot of it.
Yes, yeah. He wouldn't run out of things to talk about, that's for sure.
There's got to be something happening.
Yeah. Oh, great. God, these are all great answers. Mark, good luck. You got to go last.
yeah, I think it would. So it's living or dead.
Yes.
Kurt Vonnegut. I think I could talk for hours with Vonnegut.
Yeah.
And, oddly enough, I still keep going into Barnes & Noble looking for new novels, and I'm disappointed every single time I go in there because there's nothing new being written.
He hasn't gone the V.C. Andrews route and has a staff writing for him.
Great answers. All of those were great answers. All of this has been great.
Have I ever told you guys my time travel fantasy? We all have time travel fantasies, yeah, right? Yeah. Hollywood actually stole my time travel fantasy. I've had this one for years, and it kind of relates to Ben's influences. I always wanted. I have this time travel. That's hard to say.
Time travel
fantasy of going back in time, right before the Beatles wrote the songs that they wrote, with me knowing the songs that they wrote.
Oh, yes.
And
okay,
hook up with John Lennon or Paul McCartney. Hey, I got this cool song, The Long and Winding Road. And they'd be like, shit.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, that is a hit right there.
Yeah. And there's a freaking movie now called Yesterday. Yeah, if you've seen it, it's almost exactly what my fantasy was.
If it makes you feel any better, it bombed. So you're probably good that your name wasn't attached to it. You got saved there on that one. So, Seth and I have had this, one of our longer running jokes and bits is wasting a time machine, and how most people talk about saving humanity or going back and killing off Hitler or something like this stuff and everything. I'll say this as a Jew. No, we barely made it out the last time. I don't want it to get rid of him and have somebody even worse come in or anything like that. I think I'm good. Let's go leave things where they are. But I would love to go back and see like Miles Davis at the Monterey Pop Festival or something like that. Like that kind of thing. Like I would completely let humanity down and just be going back and you know, seeing Hendrix and these guys and everything. Like, hey, what did you solve? What did you fix? Nothing, but man, you really should have seen when Hendrix lit that guitar on fire. It was amazing. It was really cool. I'm sorry we don't have water, though. That I'm sorry about that, guys. I feel bad. Thank you all for this time.
Got to ask myself why, before your soul left and touched the sky, the way we parted I'll always regret. It'll be something I'll never forget. You were always the best partner in crime. Shed enough laughs to last a lifetime. Walked away, didn't know it was the end. Hard to accept losing you, my friend. This is goodbye. Watching rock shows, demonstrating all the knowledge you know. Mile by mile, memories made on the road. Good times were had with every story you told. Makes me sad to think those times are long gone. Stay up all night to the break of dawn. Walked away, didn't know it was the end. Hard to accept losing you, my friend. This is goodbye. We'll be right back.
taught me well on how the music should go. Mixed my songs in at every show. You were a leader, a legend to all. You never failed to answer my call. Now you've gone and I'm left leading the way. Your wisdom is missed every single day. You've gone away, didn't know it was the end. Hard to accept losing you.
Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.